Blog Talk Radio.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give me you. Everything else can wait. That song never gets too old. Hallelujah. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. You are listening to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny. And you know, tonight I want to talk vaccines. Vaccine. There's so much in the news about this vaccine, and all the scientists from the CDC are saying this, and the scientists from the World Health Organization are saying that, and you got all these major players in the vaccine development space talking about whether the vaccines are good for us and we need them, or whether the vaccines are deadly and we don't need them. We need to avoid them. I want to know from you that's listening to me tonight, the sound of my voice, all the born-again believers, what do you think about vaccines? Are vaccines here to kill us? Is it a ploy of the enemy to take out the weak and the church folks and the African-Americans and the elderly? What is it? I have my personal opinion, and I'm sure the brothers that join me in a few minutes are going to have their own personal opinions. But before we get started, I want to let you know that you're listening again to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. This is an open line discussion tonight on Monday nights. We allow you, the listeners, to call in and provide your own comments, to ask your questions, and even if you have a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Amen. The number to call in is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We also have an email address, godswordtoman.com. godswordtoman@gmail.com. I'm sorry. godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN. @gmail.com. We also are on social media. That's right, we're on Facebook. It's a Bible that's open and a light shining down on the Bible. That's the picture you will see. If you're on Facebook, go on over and follow and like our page, okay? That's where we disseminate a lot of content. That's where I upload a lot of videos, whether they be live videos or recordings from previous videos. I upload them there, so if you want to follow us and you like what you hear, go on over on Facebook if you're on Facebook and follow us over there, okay? Now, I'm going to play something for you. This is a recording. It features Bill and Melinda Gates talking about vaccines. And there are those, and I'm one of them, who believe that there is an agenda being pushed by these individuals. Well, we all know Bill Gates has for years been saying that we need to eliminate a certain portion of the population for population control purposes. So he's been wanting to kill people off for a very long time. And I believe that COVID-19 virus is the precursor of something greater to come upon us. And when you look at his face, I mean, I just don't trust him. I don't trust his wife. She looks very, you know, I'm just going to say it. She looks sneaky, you know. She looks downright sneaky. She looks like she has ulterior motives. She sounds like a nice person just trying to give out information, and she sounds so caring, but she looks like the devil in sheep's clothing. Both of them with their sheepish grins, standing there, sitting there on that couch. And I want you to listen to what they say about these vaccines. Now, we're going to get into what the vaccines are. Vaccines, for a lot of you who may not know, vaccines are actually lesser lethal strands of the actual virus itself, mixed in with a cocktail of other random ingredients, some of it being human DNA tissue from dead fetuses. Oh, my God. Some of them say there are a few different strands of flu in these vaccines. So for all that, for your cost of going to the doctor, they're pumping us full of less lethal doses of other viruses and all dead fetal tissue. I mean, I know that there are proponents out there, people who, you know, they believe in these vaccines, but I don't. In fact, I've stopped taking the flu vaccine, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I don't give vaccines, none whatsoever. And I've been pretty much perfectly fine. I mean, I've gotten sick from time to time here and there, but for the most part, I've been fine. God, I thank God that he's blessed me. You know, he's blessed me tremendously. But I'm going to play something for you now, and I want you to hear something. All right. Now, if this doesn't sound like a strategy for eliminating certain sectors of the population, I don't know what is. I'm going to be quiet, and hopefully you can hear this. Please listen, brothers and sisters, because this is important.
They deserve to get this vaccine first. And from there, you want to do tiering in various countries to make sure your most vulnerable populations get it. In our country, that would be Blacks and Native Americans, people with underlying health conditions, and the elderly. And so we need to look at, as a globe, and we're involved with many European leaders and African leaders and others in Southeast Asia, to make sure there's a purchasing fund that can pull that vaccine through when it's available and get it out in wide-scale distribution.
Now, folks, did you hear that? I just want to know, did you hear it? I'm going to play it again.
They deserve to get this vaccine.
In case you didn't. Now, this is Melinda Gates talking about the healthcare workers need to be the first ones who receive the vaccine. Now, if I was going to make sure that the healthcare workers got it first, who are the healthcare workers working on day in and day out? The sick, the elderly, the people with pre-existing issues, people who are already sick in the hospital. Guess what? One of the strategies I believe is happening. I believe that there's a concerted effort, a strategy being designed or created, not just Bill and Melinda Gates, but the powers that be, we'll just say it like that, who are attempting to eliminate, totally obliterate, murder. This is genocide. Murder a sector of the population, the United States population, and let's just say it, African Americans, Native Americans, let's see, Native Americans were here first. The African Americans that were brought over, that were Africans, that were brought over here and made Americans, they helped build this country. And, oh, we're going to take care of the elderly. There's always been a problem, they say, with Social Security, right? So they're going to vaccinate the elderly, vaccinate the blacks, vaccinate the Native Americans, and those with pre-existing issues. So you tell me what's going on. What about the whites? What about the Chinese? What about the Mexicans? What about Jews? I mean, these are my questions. None of them have pre-existing issues. None of them are poor and can't afford the vaccines. I'm going to play it one more time, and then I'm going to bring on my brother who's going to join me. Now, everybody pay attention to what she's saying. They cut off the first portion of her statement, where she said that the healthcare workers would get it.
They deserve to get this vaccine first. And from there, you want to do tiering in various countries to make sure your most vulnerable populations get it. In our country, that would be blacks and Native Americans, people with underlying health conditions, and the elderly. And so we need to look at it as a globe, and we're involved with many European leaders and African leaders and others in Southeast Asia to make sure there's a purchasing fund that can pull that vaccine through when it's available and get it out in wide-scale distribution.
Wide-scale distribution. I'm going to bring my brothers on. We're going to talk about this for a little while. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed, Brother Manny. How are you doing? God bless you. Thank you for having us on. Blessings on you and your family.
Amen. Thank you for joining, Rev. I also want to bring on our brother Tom. God bless you, Brother Tom.
Oh, man, God bless you guys. As usual, it's great to be on with my friends.
Absolutely. God bless you, Brother Tom.
Amen.
Brothers,
I'm talking about vaccines tonight, and I'm talking about this video that's been playing millions and millions of times. But I don't think people understand that people are not seeing. This vaccine that Bill and Melinda Gates are pushing for, they're pushing for it over in Europe. They've been doing trials and tests on people in Africa and some of these villages that are some of these poor villages in Africa, injecting people with these vaccines, this vaccine which is reported to have less lethal strands of COVID in it, along with other flu viruses and dead fetal tissue, among other things that they're pumping into us. And they want widespread distribution of this vaccine. So from the church's standpoint, and this is what I want you to open up with, should we be telling people to accept these vaccines even though nothing's wrong with them, or even if there's something wrong with them? What if they're sick? What if they do have COVID? Do they get the vaccine or don't they? Rev, I'm going to start with you.
Well, without consulting God. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us to trust in the Lord, to lean not to our own understanding in every way, all of our ways, acknowledge him so that he may direct our path. And while that might simply sound like a Sunday school answer, it's a word of wisdom that we need to carry forward in this day and time that we live so that we can make sure we're making wise decisions. And it's ironic that you're talking about this topic on today. I hadn't even talked to you about my best friend. His brother was saying to me that he believes that the people who was doing the testing gave his brother COVID-19 because prior to him getting tested, he showed absolutely no signs of having COVID-19. And so for my money, there's always been a segment of people who have been against any kind of vaccination. because actually they give you a strain of the actual disease or whatever it is, and to help make your body immune to it. So I think the first thing that the church should be doing is doing everything, number one, to get as much information as we possibly can about, you know, not only the vaccine, but about the people who are so dogmatic about pushing the vaccine on a specific set of people under the guise of them needing it more than anybody else. So just as my opening statement, again, I would suggest, by all means, seek the Lord and ask God to direct us as to what we should do. I feel this for myself. As long as there's nothing wrong with me, I'm not getting a vaccine. So, and may even hesitate, even if I start feeling ill. So that's my opening statement.
Amen. We already have a caller. I want to bring that caller on. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Ralph. How are you? Can you hear me?
Sure, Ralph. How are you? How's it going?
Well, I've been better. I think everyone has been better, and I'm glad you're bringing up this topic of vaccines. And you know, I wanted to talk about what's going on with this virus right now because I just feel they're taking away our rights. You know, yesterday, a few days ago, it was July 4th. I couldn't go into a bar. I couldn't go into a restaurant. You know, I had to wear a mask going into a Walmart. I mean, what do you make of all this? Don't you think they are taking our rights away?
Well, that's why we're discussing vaccines tonight. I mean, according to them, you know, this is a great way for us to stop the spread of COVID-19. Another way is that they're developing vaccines, and the vaccines, that's the topic that we're talking about tonight. Bill and Melinda Gates pushing vaccines, not only on the rest of the world, but particularly Native Americans, African Americans, the elderly, and people with pre-existing issues. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's horrible. I think it's in line with everything I was just saying, that they are forcing these rules and regulations on us. They're forcing vaccines and medications on us. And where are our rights as Americans? Where are our rights? They're being eroded by something that I don't even know if it exists.
Well, I definitely know it exists because we've had people close to us who have passed away from what they're saying. Now, this is what the hospital says was COVID-19. Now, we won't know. We don't know. I mean, they could just test you and they could just say it's COVID-19. I mean, every time someone passes away in the hospital, they say it's COVID-19. How do we really know? And another thing is, why are they pushing these vaccines so hard? I mean, if you understand what a virus is, a virus can only be treated certain ways. You can't give a person medicine
right
for a virus. They will tell you that. They will say that flu virus has to run its course through your system and your immune system has to do its job. That's the way God made us. Well, if that's the case, then
right,
why are
right
we creating vaccines? Yeah, I definitely understand
right
what you're talking about.
Right.
And that's going to be another segment. We're going to be talking about our rights.
I mean, do you feel that bars and restaurants should be shut down where you can't even go have something to eat?
No, I don't think they should be infringing upon your right to move around at all. At the same time, I think that ultimately what is taking place is eventually we're going to have to be mandated to take these vaccines, I think that's what they want. They want to mandate that everyone take vaccines. I think they're going to be trying to quarantine people in their homes so that they can do whatever it is that they want to do to people. I mean, think about it. The elderly, people with pre-existing issues, I mean, come on. It seems like to me they're trying to eliminate a sector of the population. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and well, where is my right as a citizen? Where is my right as a citizen to say, hey, I do not want to take that vaccine?
They're taking away those rights, my friend. That's why we have to turn to God, man. It's time to get closer to God like never before.
I agree.
They're getting ready to take away some of these rights that we hold dear.
You know, the other day on July 4th, I wanted to go into a restaurant with my boyfriend, and we couldn't even have a date night. They closed down all the restaurants. I mean, what do you make?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it looks like we got disconnected with my friend. But listen, thank you for calling in if you're still listening. We appreciate you. I'm going to go ahead and go to the next brother, Brother Tom. God bless you, Brother Tom. Go ahead with your opening comment about these vaccines. And what do you think about that video that I played?
Very interesting. Was that a real caller? I hope so. But
you have a lot of people who are in an uproar basically because they feel like their rights are being infringed upon. They can't go out. They can't go to a bar or a restaurant without a mask. You have to wear a mask out in public. I mean, you have a lot of people who are angry because they have to adjust to the times. So I'm sure that person was, experiencing that. And, we appreciate their comment and them calling in. But we're talking about vaccines here.
Yep. Relating to the vaccine situation, yes, I've seen the videos by Bill and Melinda Gates. I've heard some things. Brother already said, we should always pray before we think about taking any kind of vaccine or anything like that. But let's be realistic about the history of unknown vaccination with diseases in this country and who has in this country and around the world and who has been the guinea pigs. The reality is that African Americans and African people of African descent in the Caribbean and in Africa itself, on the homeland, all across southern parts of China, which have large population of black diaspora, and here in the United States, African Americans have been guinea pigs. They were guinea pigs for polio. They were guinea pigs for the Spanish flu. They were guinea pigs for AIDS. And right now, with this pandemic, we know that many African American people. I personally know some who have passed away from COVID-19. The reality is that we have to be careful about what we put in injecting into our body. I would tell everybody, not only consider this vaccine situation should not only wake us up for quote-unquote vaccines, but it should also wake us up for food preparation and all this kind of stuff and what we're eating and what we put in our body every day and how our body our bodies are being harmed by the things in which we eat. And so it's a lot of that we need to truly consider when you think about the vaccine, Brother Marshall.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the main things I want to talk about tonight is our ability to identify the signs of the time. Are really, really paying attention to what is happening. I mean, they're basically giving us the playbook of how they want to take us out, or how they want to persecute us or enslave us again. I mean, I put on Facebook, we talk about the vaccines, how harmful they are to the body of the person that's injected. And we all know Bill Gates for years has been saying that he believes in population control through genocide, you know, through murder. And now he is, you know, in the perfect position to help orchestrate that. And, you know, as you said, what is going to be our most reliable protection against these types of things? You know, hey, if you have pre-existing issues, there are things that you can do to help reverse what is going on in your body. And a lot of it is discipline and what we are putting inside of our bodies, what we're eating. A lot of people don't want to, you know, face that. They don't want to talk about that, especially folks in the church. We just want to hold true to our Sunday dinners. We want to hold on to them with a kung fu grip. We don't want nobody touching our fried chicken and our chitlins and, you know, and hog maws and, you know, our pork chops and all these kind of things. But these very foods, that's what's making us sick. And you heard what the wicked one, Melinda Gates, I call her the wicked one. You heard what she said. She wants the first people to get it are people with pre-existing issues. African Americans, Native Americans, and the elderly. So if that isn't a cause for alarm, I don't know what is. Rev, why do you think it's so hard for people in the church, and not everybody, I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of people in the church, to change what they're eating or change their lifestyle so that it would improve their health? Why do you think so many people are dying because they don't want to change that part?
Well, I think it speaks directly to a word you just used a second ago, and it's called discipline. When we are not disciplined in one area, you will find most often that we won't be disciplined in several other areas. And what I mean by that is this. The only way to combat this is with information. In order for us to get information, we must do what the Bible encourages us to do, to learn about God. We must study to show ourselves approved. So oftentimes, we just want to go by what we have seen and heard generationally. And so, hey, my grandmother or my great-grandmother or my mother, they ate this way and they lived for an extremely long period of time. What do you mean I can't eat that way? Well, the truth of the matter is, even though they did eat that way, some of the kinds of chemicals that are in the food today are simply were not in the food back then. And so we must get information and not simply always try to throw God in the mix of something. See, that's a subculture that exists in the church. We want to always do what we want to do, and then when we're sick or when we're down or when we're dying, and now we want to say, oh, you know what, I'm going to pray about it, or I do this or I do that. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so while we should have faith that God can do all things, God encourages us through Scripture to also have wisdom, and not just have wisdom, but to get an understanding. And so when we find it necessary, and what we should be practicing is prevention versus intervention, but unfortunately we major in intervention. And so we have to get to a point by which we say, as a fivefold ministry, well, we got to start teaching people from the pulpit about more than just the Bible. And I say that in a loose sense because the Bible encourages us to have good health. You know, so it's not like it's not in the Bible for us to have good health. He said, I wish that you would prosper in all of that way. So in all that ways includes our health. And if we don't know a thing, then we should take the time to find it out. We should take the time to search it out and then understand even the comment that Mrs. Gates made, you would understand. Somebody would say, well, she was saying that because they have compassion for those groups that she named because they're affected the most. Well, if the devil is going to be the devil, he ain't going to always jump out there and say, hey, I'm the devil. He's going to do it under the guise of something. And so that's another reason why we have to get information, as you said, what they're notorious about. Find out the credibility of somebody who's saying something. If this person is saying something and they're notorious for saying, hey, listen, we want to control the population by genocide or control them by any means, then we might not want to believe that they really just want to help the black people or the Native Americans or the elderly. We might want to let that red flag be known, recognize it, and ask questions. And so I believe the church doesn't have the discipline to those who obviously applies. We just don't have the discipline because we're not disciplined enough to study our word, let alone be disciplined enough to eat right, to do right, to understand the benefits of being healthy. And so, that's my take on it, Brother Manny.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tom, do you think this push all of a sudden for vaccines, do you think this is ushering in the, as a lot of people think, the microchip or the mark of the beast? You won't be able to buy or sell without having the mark. This vaccine, some believe that you won't be able to go back to work unless you've shown that you've gotten the vaccine. You won't be able to go in certain places and do certain things and be seen in certain places without having had the vaccine. In fact, there's some studies that show that they are anticipating once this vaccine is made available that tens of millions of people will get the vaccine, whether they are sick or not.
Well, Brother Murphy, let me back up and say this. I think what we have to be careful of is there's a lot of fear being spread through the media. And I want to give you guys the underlining, the underlying factor here. And that is there's a whole lot of people waiting to make money off of the vaccine. Okay, this is a capitalist movement. That's what this is about. It's no different than your aspirin or, your other medications that people are making, like EpiPen. The young lady, I believe she was from West Virginia. She's the daughter of the governor of West Virginia. I don't know if he's still governor. I'll have to look it up to verify, but I believe she was the she created the vaccine for some of the children who have not food allergies, but allergies to bees and other bugs that and other things that cause them to have to take the EpiPen. Certain allergies that children have died from. And a lot of the children that were affected by these particular diseases that the EpiPen has kept alive or came into the rescue of were white children. Greed and money does not care what your color is. This young lady, they were manufacturing, and she got bought before Congress. They were manufacturing the EpiPen somewhere at a rate of, I think the EpiPen itself, along with the medicine, cost, the medicine itself was from an extract of a plant. It cost less than 5 cents, literally, to manufacture. And they were, selling these EpiPens. When she first got question, she moved the company to the Netherlands, and she was paying herself somewhere around $50 million, and she and her mother were signing schools up in California and other states, making them sign contracts not to buy this particular, because it's a vaccine as well, not to buy this particular vaccine or any copies or any other or anybody else who makes it, except for from them. That's what this is about. This is a rush for money. This is a rush to see who's going to come up with the vaccine, so that when the rules are going to be, I don't believe, constitutionally, they would literally have to pass legislation to force people to take the vaccine. I don't believe we're there yet. I think that is to come, according to the word of God. We're going to have, you know, the mark of the beast and things like that. This is not the mark of the beast. This is capitalists who are looking to invest at the end of the day. And yes, some of them just happen to be testing out these vaccines amongst the people who they see the most expendable and always have been seen the most expendable, especially in the last 680 years, and that's black people.
Amen. Well, my last question before we get ready to head off this thing, I want both of you to talk about the importance of education in the community. So I didn't know the EpiPen was a vaccine. I thought the EpiPen was a needle that you had on hand that you injected people with antibiotics that would have an allergic reaction or something. I didn't know you classified that as a vaccine. But in that regard, when you talk about stuff like the flu vaccine, some people have an issue with the flu vaccine and vaccines that are similar because of what's in the vaccine. Now, when you get injected with an EpiPen, whatever the TORI response is to that allergy that is occurring in your body, I highly doubt that EpiPen is filled with less lethal doses of that same thing that they're allergic to. So when I'm talking about vaccines, I'm talking about how people are still getting sick from the vaccines, how we're talking about viruses. A virus, and I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, is much different from an allergy. A virus is an immune, you have an immunological reaction to a virus, and you have, is that the same as having an allergic reaction to something, a foreign substance or something around you that you're allergic to? I didn't know that. So can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that? Because when I found out about what they're putting in vaccines and shooting in people, it's not medicine. It's not medicine for an allergy. It's deadened or least lethal strands of multiple viruses that have been put inside of a cocktail, a vial, to be shot into people to make their immune system develop antibodies to a virus that may not be necessarily the strand that's inside the body or that's outside the body. And a lot of people are predicting that this new vaccine, because it has not been tested properly, are going to kill and eliminate a lot of people. I'm just saying from a natural standpoint and just from a spiritual standpoint, what are we to do or to tell the church folks about this vaccine and whether or not to accept the vaccine or not, considering its source, where it's coming from, and what is actually inside that vaccine? To that, Rev, you say?
You know, again, you know, information is always going to be key, right? And who is giving the information is even equally as important, if not a little bit more important. So that's why I said earlier, you always want to look at the credibility of the individual who's giving the information. And so what is their level of intellect concerning the matter? So what does Bill Gates and his wife, what do they really know about the virus? And maybe they know a lot, maybe they know tons about it. I don't know, but I'm saying this is how I would instruct my members, as it were, if they were to ask me. You know, again, like I said earlier, the first thing I would tell them, obviously, is to seek God. The second thing I would say is, while you're seeking God and waiting for an answer, get as much information as you possibly can about the virus. Let's find out, do we even know anything about the coronavirus? Do we have any idea about it, the COVID-19? Do we have any idea about it? And if we don't, let's find out the information. Because back to something you just said a second ago, what is the way that it's supposed to be combated? Because my understanding, too, was it's something that has to run its course. There is no vaccine for it. It has to run its course. But again, I don't pretend to be an expert in that field. But what I would beg people to do is to make sure that they're getting as much information before they make a decision so that they can make an informed decision, a well-informed decision, about whether or not they're going to take it or not. I think another place we need to continue to hammer home, whether it's during the pandemic or after the pandemic has come and gone, is to get people back to a place where we are encouraging them to not put themselves in harm's way as it relates to their health. And so we must teach that it's not okay to just continue to abuse your body. In fact, gluttony is a sin. And so we gotta inform people the right way, and we can't be afraid to tell them the pure, unadulterated truth. And so for me, that's what I would tell the members. Listen, we need to find out exactly what this virus is about. We need to find out what Bill and his wife, I think her name is Melinda, whatever the Gates, who are they? What's their motive? And I agree with my twin. You know, this is a capitalistic society. It's always going to be about money. But the last thing I want to add is this. None of us better be asleep about the fact that you best believe there's a little bit something about the end times and the Antichrist that's involved in a lot of what's going on, including COVID-19. There's some underlying things because, listen, they're not going to just burst on the scene with the mark of the beast of technology. They're not going to just burst on the scene. It's going to be eased in as it's already being eased in. Anytime they can put an app, put something on your phone about COVID-19, and the average person didn't even know when they updated their phone that was placed on their phone, whether you have Android or Apple phone. And so, yeah, I would say that COVID-19, the vaccine, and everything else that's happening right now has played a role some kind of way in the Antichrist, in the end time prophecy. And I would encourage people to get as much information before they make a decision.
Amen. Amen. Is this as much of a our people thing as it is a spiritual, a church thing? I mean, our people are a lot. I mean, if you go into most churches, you see a lot of people, and not everybody, but you see a lot of people who are overweight, a lot of people who are sick, you know, the shut-in list, the people in the hospital. I mean, a lot of that can be attributed to pre-existing issues or lifestyle or diet. I mean, the leading cause among African Americans of death in our community is heart disease. So my thing is like, if they are targeting people with pre-existing issues and African Americans, well, we can't change the color of our skin. But we can change the way we live our life, what we put in our mouths, what type of rest we get, to strengthen and improve our immune system. And that's something that I'm going to be talking about on the next broadcast, ways to strengthen and improve your immune system so that when these viruses do come on the scene, that your body is able to fight it off without a vaccine. I mean, we have the ultimate vaccine. Our immune system, God made our immune system to fight off. There's viruses everywhere. There are viruses in the air, on everything you touch. Everything you put in your mouth may have a virus. The body is bombarded with those things. So that's just my issue with the vaccine. Go ahead, Brother Tom. You want to add anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, health is a problem, you know, when it comes to a whole lot of things. It's like, unfortunately, we do not live in a system where we can trust the United States government, especially to advocate for our health and wellness. We consistently, on many levels, not just for our health and wellness, but we'll stick to health, our health and wellness. We had to advocate ourselves for ourselves and everything. And we're left with the spillovers. During slavery, we got connected with the pig, and we ate the worst of the pig, you know, because that was the leftovers. We got connected and fell in love with chicken because that was the cheapest thing that they could feed us to keep the slave strong. So it's so many things that culturally we need to learn. That doesn't mean we don't need to eat certain things. It means, you know, it means preparation. It means amount. It means, what do we do for fitness? I mean, when we think about how much, you know, culturally we are shed out of things. I mean, I was really in the gym yesterday. I'm a Lifetime Fitness member. And I was in the gym and I was saying, you know, think about all this access to fitness centers that culturally African-American people don't have. You know, even with these smaller gyms like Planet Fitness and things of that nature, they're not in or near our community. And so I've been long and hard thinking about, and I'll say it here because then it'll be on the record, right, my twin, you know. But I've been thinking long and hard about building some athletic facilities in communities of color where they have athletic facilities that the communities can go to in the inner cities across America. I've been truly thinking about that because these young men and young women, you know, the high schools aren't open to them anymore. You know what I'm saying? And even in those cases, like a lot of these children, think about what happened in Chicago. Like we lose sight of things so much. Like it was like 7 or 8 years ago where Rahm Emanuel closed 56 schools in the black community, 56 schools in the black community. And so now people are now having to travel outside of their community. Even school facilities are not available to those adults like they are children. And so, you know, you got people who can't even afford the $10 a month membership. You get what I'm saying? And they don't have access. They don't have partner groups to walk with them and encourage them about fitness. They don't even know what fitness is. And so we're learning so much as we grow as a people. And this is one of those things, Brother Murphy, that just another thing about the effects of so much that has happened to us as a community that's put us behind. And it's not blaming everybody for our problem, but it's saying that the reality of these things that have happened to us and has hit our plight in so many different ways, and health and nutrition is one of them. We can't even afford to eat right in most cases, you know. And then when these people do get EBT cards and things of that nature with hundreds and hundreds of dollars on them, they're conditioned to eating Cheetos and cheese snacks and garbage. I mean, I'm going to tell you, like my own daughter who comes with me for the summer, she came to my house and she said, "Dad, you don't have any food." And I said, "There's plenty of food in there." She says, "No, you don't have any food." And I said, "Yeah,
I mean, you don't have no real food."
There to eat. Right. You know, but in her mind, she's looking for all the junk food. You know,
yeah.
All the things is not healthy. So I try to turn away in a different way. Like we spend a lot of time at the gym together because culturally, like white families grow up together going to physical fitness centers. It's a part of their culture. For us,
yeah,
eating healthy and going to fitness centers, it's just not a part of our culture unless you're an athlete. It's just not. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Can I add this too, Brother Manny?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And I want to answer your question. You said, is it just our culture? And the truth of the matter is, it's not just our culture. It's not just black people. It's poor people in general. It's poor white people. It's poor Mexican. Whatever you are, if you're poor, you're going to find in every poor neighborhood, no matter what the hue, you're going to find food deserts. You're going to find easy access to food that is not fit for our consumption. You're going to find that, and you're going to find it in bulk. You're going to find liquor stores. You're going to find these things in every poor area, because one thing they know is that at the level of our ability to have, as far as finances, we just this is what we can do. Like Brother Tom just said, this is all we can afford to do. And so, to us, a 2-for-5, you know, Big Mac and a quarter pounder, hey, we think that's a deal, and we that'll save us some money, and we'll be able to do A, B, and C. But we don't read and see that the Big Mac itself has 1,100 calories, or that it has 1,500 grams of sodium. We don't know anything about that because, again, we're not educating ourselves in a lot of cases to what we're eating. We're just eating it because, hey, this is what we have access to. That's why when people were burning and looting the grocery stores, I was like, you know, I get that we're upset, but at the end of the day, we already have food deserts in most of our neighborhoods, and even some of the stores that they burned down, I wouldn't say that they carried quality food even there, but at least it was something. And so we got to understand that, you know, again, my twin hit it on the head. This is a capitalistic society. Truth be told, they care even less about us, no doubt, but they don't care about anybody. The color they care about is green. And that's what matters the most. And I'm going to tell you this. They're going to eradicate poor folks, not just black folks. They're going to eradicate poor white folks as well, poor whoever, because that's what it's about. Anytime we have erased just about, and my twin, I think, would agree with this, we have just about erased the middle class. It is the haves and the have-nots. And that's what it's coming down to. And I'm telling you, you know, when it's all said and done, it's not just about color. It is about that, but it ain't just about that. It's about, you know, because this is not a skin color problem. That's collateral from what the real problem is, which is sin. And sin don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't care.
Hey, man, I would tend to agree with you, and I agree with Tom to a great deal of the extent, but here's my issue. They didn't say poor whites. They didn't say poor Mexicans.
No doubt.
They said for the black people, the Native Americans, these are people who are historically mistreated and underserved, as you said. And they said the elderly, when this COVID-19 first started, they were saying that it was an elderly issue in the nursing homes. I don't know if anybody remember that, but I remember them saying, hey, you know, it was an issue that first originated in the nursing homes, and that older people were the most vulnerable people to get it. And then they said babies. And then they said, well, no, it's people with pre-existing issues. And then all of a sudden, African Americans were the ones at the highest rate getting COVID-19. All of a sudden, it was African-American. But before then, it was only something that is affecting older people and senior citizens. So be careful around grandma and grandpa and pop, okay? That's all they were saying. Now they plain came out and said that we developed, guess what? We developed a vaccine. And not only that, we've already been testing it in Africa and in parts of Asia. And we have people supporting it from leaders like from Europe and from Africa. Well, you know, that's kind of odd that you'd only say those protected classes. Interesting to me. Maybe I'm the only one that finds it interesting. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's everything. But that's why we come on God's Word to Man on Monday nights, so we can discuss all these things. I want to give you two brothers a closing statement, a closing comment. Let everybody know where they can find you. When is the next time you're going to be on? Brother Tom, I know that you have something you want to talk about, and we're going to try to come on either tomorrow or Wednesday with this particular topic but I'll come to you in a second. Rev, go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you, and if you have a final comment, you can give it.
As always, Brother Manny, thank you for having us on. It is a blessing. I continue to pray God's blessing upon you and your family. I'm on every Wednesday, Word Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Caring Church of Memphis Facebook page. Also, you can find us every Saturday at noon. I have one literary workout right now. It's called Defeating the Enemy, Strategies for a Healthy and Successful Marriage. It is in e-reader form only. It can be found on AmazonBooks.com. There's a picture of the chessboard on the front of it, and just type in J.C. Murphy and the title, and it'll pop right up. Amen. Thanks for having me.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. I appreciate it. Brother Tom?
Yes, Tom Lyon here, serving at Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Really just, hanging back here and watching a lot unfold as we all are. So continue to pray for us. Looking forward to coming on the next broadcast outside of our regular Monday broadcast. And we are going to be discussing the word nigger. And we're going to talk a little bit about its origin, and we're going to talk about our people. Our people, have we really taken back the power of that word? Is it socially acceptable? Why is it so prevalent amongst our people, stars, and things of that nature? And why are we so comfortable with this word? I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk soon.
Amen. Thanks for that, Brother Tom. And as always, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Brother Nate will be back on the broadcast. I'm sure he has a very powerful message he is going to bring forth. And just check back. I mean, I'll post up when Brother Tom is going to come on again. And next week we'll be mainly talking about diet, exercise, lifestyle, and how we can prepare ourselves when the next time we encounter something like COVID or worse. So for Brother Manny, I'm Brother Manny, Brother Tom, and Rev, we want to say may God bless you, may God keep you, may God go with you. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. And if you want to email us, go to GodsWordToMan@gmail.com. God bless you.
God bless you. You're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends
you've won again,
that you have won again. Let your power flow.